What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
Good morning, millennials.
Welcome back to The Toast and happy Thursday. Hope everyone's having an amazing day thus far. I am because I'm here with my girl. Hey, Jags. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for asking. I had such a horrible migraine all day yesterday and in my sleep. Like, it was so bad. I couldn't, towards the end of the night, like, I couldn't even see blood. I couldn't look at my phone. I couldn't do anything. It was really bad. So I'm just feeling really grateful for today and for clear head. Yesterday, the migraine like started at the beginning of the show. So you could like whenever, here's my tell. If I'm ever like touching my head like this on the show, it means that I have a migraine. So it was starting yesterday. It just snowballed all day. And by the time I got into bed, like I was just seriously not okay. So I'm just feeling grateful for a new day and a fresh start.
There's something about the new lease on life you get after being sick that really can like change the perspective of your whole life. Like, because you feel like you're in such a low and like there's no hope for the future. And then one day you wake up, whatever your illness is, like then you wake up feeling better. And it's like you're seeing life through different eyes.
No, it's like yesterday I had so many things that I needed to do, but I couldn't do any of them because I wasn't up to the task. And so today it's like, well, I'm going to do all of these things because I am able to do them.
No, and today definitely for us at least is a little bit of a Friday energy because it is our last show of the week. There's no show tomorrow. Since I'm going to be in Delaware, I have a show tonight that I'll be heading to right after we record this episode. So today's like a really busy Friday.
Yeah. Also, I was having this funny thought. I went to dinner with some friends last night and I was saying how I feel like moms who have migraines in like books and movies, they're always like the mom who's always in like the room in bed with a migraine.
The commercials.
But the commercials always have the mom who's like fighting through her migraine and like playing with the kids even when she like shouldn't. But I feel like in every book that I read, it's like, oh, well, my mother has migraines. So she's just like down for the count. But how, like, I can't choose whether or not I have migraines. So like if I have migraines and I need to like lay in the dark in my room, then I'm like a cliche mother who has migraines.
Well, I think in like books and movies, a lot of times like migraines are like what kids think parents have when the parent's like a deadbeat or an alcoholic.
Or like hungover. Maybe right, they have so many migraines. Like my hangovers are migraines and my migraines are hangovers, but maybe the volume is because they're always hungover.
No, it's like, you know, it's like such a cliche, like mom can't drive me to school today. She has a migraine. But
yeah,
it's like
no,
mom's passed out on the floor.
The kids playing by themselves in the front yard and like some random person comes over like, where's your mommy? She has a migraine.
She has a migraine. No, totally. It's like a euphemism for like a bigger thing that like a kid can't understand
yet. But what if you are a mom that actually has migraines?
No, these deadbeat mothers are out here like making it hard for the mothers with migraines.
Yeah. So I just always think about that. Like, I don't want to be like the mom with migraines, but I am a mother with migraines. And yes, I do need to lay in the dark and I need peace and quiet.
No, like the Excedrin commercial that like ran throughout our childhood, like really is ringing true right now. It's like that mom who like needs to do it all, but she can't because she has a migraine and Excedrin is here to help.
Yeah, I guess I don't try Excedrin enough. I'm going to get some.
I get migraines too, but like a few years ago, I went through like a really bad bout and Excedrin, extra strength, it has a little caffeine in it too. So it gives you like a little pep in your step. You can't take it before bed. You have to take it in the morning. It's actually a stunning drug.
Yeah. I do have the magic pills, but I think I've said like they work best if I take them right before I'm about to go to sleep. So I don't take them during the day because they might just like not work and they don't prescribe very many. So I can't just have one that's not going to work.
there are a couple drugs out there, not to get into big pharma again, but there are a couple drugs out there that are actual like miracle drugs, like Zofran mm-hmm. or your migraine pills that like you have to beg for a pack of four. Like why are you making us suffer?
No, and then also then I get anxiety. Like I took my last magic pill. And so now it's like, if my headache didn't go away today, like I have nothing.
I don't know if I've ever told this story, but you know, Ben has always had migraines and he has a prescription for those migraine medicine magical pills.
Does he have the same one and as me? The same
pills? I'm not sure. But one time, like when we were dating in college, I had such a bad migraine and he gave me one and I was going to bed and it brought on the worst panic attack of my fucking life.
That's so
I was
you.
Like literally, it's so me. I'm always having problems.
You just can't like accept the miracle for what it is. You have to no, like, I really can't. Something nefarious.
No, I have to make it a story, one of my favorite stories.
You have to make it about you.
100%. And speaking of making stories, yesterday, Jackie and I recorded an episode for Patreon. It's available now. It's a podcast episode. And it's really centered around something that's been a really hot button issue here at the Toasties last couple of weeks and over the last few years, honestly. It was a detailed recap, a dive in to my favorite stories. We're always talking about like stories I cannot stop repeating, Genesis Funeral, Law and Order episodes. And I think a lot of people, unless you've been listening to every single episode from the beginning and you have an amazing memory, a lot of people don't even know what these stories are or like what their importance to me is. Mm-hmm. So we did about an hour long podcast episode where I really dive into not only what happened to the story, what meaningful lessons I learned and why I bring them up on the podcast, because they do, not all of them, some of them do spark an interesting intellectual debate.
Yeah, so it was pretty well-rounded. Claudia talks about, obviously, the story. She's providing detail and color like she never has before. Like, I've never...
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Like, I've never given her the platform to do before. And also, 100%. She's talking about, like, what, like when she brings it up, like, what she's trying to say, what's the larger message, and what she wants us to take away from it.
It was, for me, it was a really cathartic episode. Maybe I'll stop talking about those stories now, because I feel like I've finally, like... said my piece.
It's all out there. And now we've said it.
Now we said it. Exactly.
So that was a really fun episode. I cannot believe that today is December. That just hit me like a ton of bricks. It's December 1st.
Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. It really is.
It really, really is.
But let me ask you a question. Your first December where it's most likely not going to be a white Christmas, how does that make you feel? Is December hitting different in the tropics?
Maybe. Maybe that's why it's even like more shocking that it's December. But I am coming to New York next week so that I can experience the holiday joy. And yeah, I guess it's weird that I'm wearing like a skort today, but it's December. But I was coming home
right.
from dinner last night and I was chilly.
Ooh.
It was so chilly.
There was a chill in the air.
So chill. So like it's cold here.
So speaking of programming update, Jackie will be back in the New York studio. Your two girls will be back. Back in the New York
studio.
Yeah. 5 episodes next week, video and audio of your girlies getting together, being best friends, sisters, and lovers.
Yes, and also programming update, because next week I'm recording the new episode of The Redheads with the girls in person, in studio. So excited to be together, even though we always...
Oh, because the episode's supposed to come out today.
It was supposed to come out today, but it's coming out next week, the second Thursday, instead of the first Thursday. Also, like, it being December, when it's like... Our episodes come out on the first Thursday of the month, but it being on the first is just a wild proposition. But we would have done it, obviously. But then I realized in a few days I will be in New York. So if we push it, we can record together. This episode is always longer because we do our year in review. So we obviously recap the book. We're reading Horace by Geraldine Brooks. I think it's going to be like amazing. I started it. It's so well written. It's like that book. It's a Danish choice, obviously. Always her December pick is tops. So we recap the book and do everything along with that, talk about other books we've read this month, but then we also rate what were the best 3 books each of us read this year separately, and then what were the best 3 Redheads books of the year. And the thing about the Redheads this year, it was like we had some really high highs and really low lows. There weren't a lot of like mid-tier books. So it's actually going to be hard to choose the top 3 because there's probably like top 6. So we'll see.
Yeah. But you know what? I'm glad you brought that up because like the fact that like the first Thursday of the month isn't always the fourth, like it's really bothersome.
It's really confusing.
It's so unnecessary. Like why there's months with 30, 31, 28. Like I get it. But like why?
It's confusing. And then also what's really confusing is like when Monday is the second, it's like one day off. And then like, so you expect that week is going to be like first, second, third. And it's like everything is just off kilter.
I just think it's genuinely unnecessary.
I would agree.
Let me tell you how I went to the Knicks game last night. I haven't been to a Knicks game in forever. Missed the energy. You know, it was eclectic. No, electric.
Electric.
And I did the funniest thing. Like, one thing about me is when it comes to Ben, like, I have to lie. Like, I'm always making stuff up just to, like, see if I can get him to believe it for years. And he's, like, always believing me. Like, what's wrong with you? Like, a perfect example is, like, for no reason, I'll just make stuff up. I remember, like, during the Dirty Jeans tour, I went to Arizona. And on my way home, I remember I was sitting with a bunch of guys and they were all talking. They were on a golf trip. And that's when I think I realized for the first time, like, Scottsdale is like a golf destination. Mm-hmm. So when I got home, I'm like unpacking. I'm like, oh my God, Ben, I forgot to tell you. Like, do you know who I was seated next to on the plane? He's like, who? I'm like, this like pro golfer. Everyone was freaking out. I think his name was like Roy or like Rory. And Ben was like, Rory McIlroy. I'm like, yes. I'm like, he was so nice. And Ben was like, no way. He's like such a big deal. I'm like, really? He was like such a regular guy, like sitting next to me, like not flying commercial. And Ben was like, and I was sitting in first class, which made it like a little more believable, even though Rory McIlroy is like literally a billionaire. Like he would never fly commercial. I'm like, yeah, it was so cool. Like he was telling me like he was on some golf trip with his buddies. And Ben, like, believe me, I let it go on for like a few minutes before I eventually tell him I'm lying because I'm not like an actual liar. So last night I these lies, like, they just come to me. And when I tell you, they're for no fucking reason, okay? So last night, we're watching a game, and there's a player, number 30. And, like, he looks familiar to me because he's, like, a popular Knick right now. So I'm like, Ben, who's number 30? Like, he looks so familiar. And he's like, that's Julius Randle. I'm like, I met him. I'm like, I have his phone number. He's like, what? I'm like, oh, my God, yes. He, like, told me he was a basketball player, but I thought he was just, like, you know, like, plays on the weekends. He's like, where did you meet him? And like, I really actually could not think of a good lie of like where I would fucking be in the same room. No, but like, that's not believable. Like, so I said, because on my time hop for that day, I was at the Luke Combs concert actually a year ago yesterday. I'm like, when I went to the Luke Combs concert, like we went backstage and there was like this room for like VIPs, which is true. And I met this guy and we were talking and he like loves podcasts. He like listens to so many podcasts. So he like got my number. He had so many questions. Like I was literally making up the most elaborate lie.
Psychotic.
And I was like, I took his number. I literally thought he was like a nobody. I never even used the number. I've had his number on my phone for a year. He's like, you're kidding me. Show me his number. Now, I wish I had thought of the lie.
No, like, that's like really.
In the bathroom.
That's crazy. If you went to those lengths.
Because then I would have put like in my phone, like Julius from Luke Combs concert. So it would have been believable. But then I was like, wait, I don't think I remembered his name. So like I started looking up like basketball player, like Luke Combs. And then I got caught in my lie. But he was like living for it until that moment. He was like, you've had Julius Randle's number for a year. Because of course, Ben's mind is like, he could have invested in Spritz. Like that. Ben's always thinking, how can this work to my advantage?
No, of course. And like Ben being Ben, all he needs is the phone number from his wife's contact book. And then Julius Randle would be an investor in Spritz.
And a dream.
Yeah.
So that's just a little, like, does anyone else, like, randomly just lie to their partner, like, for literally no reason about the most random, like, inconsequential shit?
Sometimes I'll, like, fuck around with Zach, like, if I took his car.
You did that literally when I was at your house about that meal delivery app.
Oh, my God, yes. And honestly, he, like, was barely listening, so I never got a chance to be like, gotcha. And so I'm sure he, in some recess of his brain, like, still thinks that that's a meal delivery app.
So when I came down to Florida, when Olivia had given birth, a bunch of Olivia's friends had started this meal train, which was so thoughtful. It was like this website. Everybody filled out like a date that they were going to bring lunch, dinner for like 2 weeks. It was literally, first of all, if one of your friends has a baby, it is the most thoughtful gift. Like nobody has time to cook. And so every day these like hordes of huge kosher home cooked meals were showing up. And we sat down for dinner. Of course, we were eating it, even though it wasn't for us. They were dropping off so much food. Yeah,
no, it was for everyone. And like someone was like, is this from the meal train? Is this from meal train? And we were like, yeah. And I was like, Zach, like there's this new app called Meal Train. And they just, it's like home to cook meals that you can order and they bring them like.
And they can be kosher.
Yeah, to your house. And he was like, cool. And like, he didn't really care. So I never was like, gotcha. So I'm sure like one night soon, he's going to be like, should we try that app, Meal Train?
Should we order Meal Train?
It's a good idea for an app.
It is, and it was a great lie, even though, like, it's also a great way to get poisoned by a stranger. But was a restaurant.
It's, like, it's not that good of an idea when you actually go to build it, but, like, it's funny. Like, homemade food delivery, like, people could, you know, have a side hustle being chefs from their kitchen, and people could order that who want homemade food.
And who don't want, like, restaurant sweaty takeout.
Sweaty takeout.
So, yeah, I guess we have that in common.
We do. I do that all the time. And I do some good ones, too.
No, it's like the more you do it, it's like so fun. You're like, how can I be so diabolical and creative today?
Yeah. I like took his car out and I was going to be like, I dented it. But then I was honestly too exhausted. Like I was like making a face and he was like, what? And I was like, forget it.
Okay.
I'm not in the mood to fuck also, with you today.
But that's also like these lies are supposed to be harmless. Like that's like a little.
No, but it's not like I went and dented his car so that I could tell him. I just was going to make him like be like, oh, so he went to go look at it. And then I would be like, kidding.
Yeah. Kidding. But also your husband does like dumb jokes like that too.
All the time.
Like he'll walk into a room with his AirPods in and pretend to be on a call. So you'll ignore him.
No, because, no, no.
Like, why are you?
No, that's not what he does. He'll be wearing his AirPods and talking to you. He just happens to have his AirPods in. And then he goes to take out his AirPods and says, sorry, what were you saying? I was on a call. As if the whole conversation you just had with him, he was having with someone else.
He's literally gaslighting us.
That's his favorite thing. I'm just like.
It's the dumbest joke. You have to tell him to stop.
You would think that I can. You think I can?
Oh my God, lol. Well, before we keep chatting away, let me tell you that today's episode is sponsored by IHG Hotels and Resorts, the hotel company that's made up of over 6,000 hotels and 17 amazing brands. Their brands include Kimpton Hotels and Restaurants, Intercontinental Hotels and Resorts, Holiday Inn Express, Six Senses, and more. And they're taking care of their guests this holiday season at IHG Hotels and Resorts with exclusive benefits like member discounts, a bonus points offer when you download the new IHG One Rewards mobile app, catalog savings on travel gear, and more. So IHG's all-new loyalty program, IHG One Rewards, is making it so much easier to check out and redeem these can't-miss offers right in the palm of your hand with their new mobile app. If you download the new mobile app, if you haven't already, you can start earning points with ease and redeem them for the things that you want most. You have to be a member, so don't wait to sign up. Like a resolution, actually a really good resolution, is like to start getting your points and loyalty programs on point. And IHG is so great because they have so many brands, so you can stay at like a bunch of different hotels and earn points for the same loyalty program and then redeem them however you want. And also the app like makes it really fun and easy to earn points in different ways. They're really passionate about the belief that when people are taken care of, they feel free to be themselves and live their best lives. So all you have to do is show up, guest in whatever way that works for you, and IHG will take care of the rest. So through the mobile app, you can find the best rates, book a room in seconds, sort results easily to find the information that you need, enjoy exclusive benefits for IHG One Rewards members, and manage all of your stays in one place. For more details on how to maximize your travels this holiday season with IHG Hotels and Resorts cyber offerings, you can follow at IHG One Rewards on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or visit IHG.com/cybersale. Today's episode is also sponsored by Verst. Skin is complicated, but skincare should not be. And that's where Verst comes in. With their clean results-driven products at drugstore prices. From ethically sourced ingredients to recycled packaging, Verst products are developed for you, with you, and with our planet in mind. I am very excited about Verst being a sponsor because I found out about Verst at our Spritz brunch. There was an influencer there who like really, I think her name was Kemi. She was really into skincare and I was like, you have the most amazing skin. Like, what do you use, especially to take off makeup? And she recommended the Verst Eucalyptus Makeup Balm and I've been using it ever since. And now I got more products since they started working on the show with us. It is the best way to take off your makeup. Like it actually gets rid of your makeup, which is just revolutionary. I wear waterproof mascara, which can be really tough to get off. Like I'm constantly pulling clumps out of my eyes. But the Verst Balm is really tough on waterproof mascara. It's fabulous. They have a bunch of great products at Verst. And they use the highest standards for their formulas. They use safe and effective ingredients like retinol and vitamin C, but it's at a fraction of the cost of high-end skincare. It's, of course, cruelty-free, vegan, dermatologist-tested, and sensitive skin-friendly. And sustainability is at the heart of everything they do, from post-consumer recycled materials in their packaging to maintaining a net-zero climate emission. So you've probably seen Verst popped up on your TikTok or Instagram feed. Their viral glass skin delivered by the instant resurfacing mask to their new gentle retinol body lotion that has already sold out 3 times. It is the brand clean beauty fans can't get enough of right now. And like the fact that I use it is so me because I'm such a TikToker. So we obviously have a discount. If you go to verstskin.com/toast and use code toast at checkout, you'll get 10% off your purchase at verstskin.com/toast and use code toast.
Love it. I like their lip oil. I just wear lip liner now and their lip oil and it's like the perfect gloss and the
eye brightening. That's what Hailey Bieber does.
The eye brightening cream. You would never know that Harry woke up at 5:30 this morning.
By the way, that's what Hailey Bieber does. Lip liner and just like a bomb. That's like such like a clean girl. Like,
I mean, that's me. Like really.
You're literally Hailey Bieber, Jackie.
Like, is it hard for you when you're podcasting? You're like, is it Jackie or is it Hailey?
It's so difficult. Like, actually, you don't even know. Like, I'm sure you could like comb through old episodes and I'd be like, hey, Jax, you know?
Yeah, I could sense that. I never want to call you out on it because I don't want to embarrass you.
No, and we don't do that here. We don't like call out other people who flub words. We would never do that.
Never, because we are mature. Never, ever. We are mature, sweet sisters.
Yesterday's Dear Toasters, two things I wanted to tell you. One, were you surprised at how many people, because I don't know if you saw our reels, like 200 people were commenting that they use blankies.
I did.
Like
because I had a migraine yesterday, I couldn't watch the reels till this morning. And I felt upset that I was cut off in my tirade because after seeing the comments, I think people needed to hear more of what I was saying about how they have deep psychological issues and they need to transfer their dependency from their inadequate.
You wish you went harder.
No, I did go as hard as I could in the episode. I wish there was more of
in the reels.
Hard going nature in the reel for all the people in the comments who were like, Team Blanky, like, you should be embarrassed.
No, but were you surprised? Because you didn't really believe there was so many people.
I was surprised. I really thought it was like, this fringe portion of society. No. Because my friends and the people that I'm close with, I do not know anyone who sleeps with a blankie or a stuffed animal from childhood. Mind you, obviously, there's other people in the world, and I don't have like that many close friends who I know what they sleep with. But usually, like, if say it's like 1 in 8 people have a blankie, like I know 8 people closely and they don't have that shit. So I guess, yes, I was surprised, but you know what? It's actually not that surprising. And I think that the fact that so many people sleep with blankies, still have them like, and feel attached to them, like underscores a real issue in our society and with our generation. And I think you see it play out all the time.
And then the second thing that I thought was really interesting was pertaining to Rochella. There was like a conspiracy theory in one of our Facebook groups about it. And I thought it was a really interesting take because people were like, you know, some things aren't adding up. Some people thought that the parents actually just ate all the baked goods. And in an effort to like assuage themselves of any like blame, they said there was roaches and they were lying.
Interesting theory.
But then I think calling an exterminator right after that is an extreme length. Like, even I wouldn't do that, and I lie about everything.
Agreed. That's what I was just about to say. Interesting theory until, like, the exterminator's called, she's driving herself crazy, and the parents at that point should say, like, nah, we just ate them.
Right. And exterminators are, like, an expensive hourly, like, service. So you're really going to, like, take this lie all the way and spend money just to admit to your daughter that you ate her cookie? It's, like, not that big of a deal. Right. I still think the roaches
are from
the girl's kitchen. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
We could really write like a sequel to Ratatouille about Rochatouille around this story. Like, it sounds so good.
What would the song be? Rochi.
Rochi, the Rochatouille, the roach of all my dreams. What would we name the roach? Since Remy the rat, this would have to be like
Rochelle.
Romy.
Rochelle.
Romy. Rochelle. Rochelle the roach. Mm-hmm. Justice for everyone listening to this named Rochelle.
Well, their name's Rochelle.
Well, you know, I have a question for the girlies' parents who named them Rochelle. Have you ever heard of the name Rachel?
Have you ever heard of Michelle?
Actually,
maybe they liked both names so much they said Rochelle.
No, we should really actually be praising Rochelle's because it's our favorite thing. It's the combination of two words, Michelle and Rachel.
You know, we actually have a story today that is a combination of two words, our favorite thing. It's a new ad campaign, and I know you're going to be really excited.
And is it from Cascade? Because they still have a lot to make up to me.
Because they don't have dishes?
Yeah, like Cascade rolling out that nationwide insane campaign about dish issues and not using dishes.
Just adding that extra syllable there. Do you know how much time they could have saved if they took it out?
Honestly, I could never use Cascade again. It really stuck with me.
I did use Cascade, but now I've switched to like a natural dishwashing agent. What do you use?
I don't know, something I got in PR.
Yeah, that might be like how it starts for me. I feel like now I used to use like the heavy chemical stuff, but a lot of like these newer brands, especially DTC and like advertisers, they send me stuff so I don't like buy what I used to buy. I'm like, oh, well, now I have
of course,
Brand Basics. Love it. And it's such great stuff.
No, it does the job.
And then we come on here and we spread the word and we share code.
100%.
You're welcome.
100%. So anything else you want to catch up on before we dive in? We've got really good stories today.
Yeah, we do have really good stories. Not much else I want to catch up on since my day was marred by a migraine.
How's Harry?
He's good. He misses his auntie.
He's thinking about me constantly.
As much as he can without making himself upset over it, you know?
So that's the thing, by the way, like about being away from your loved ones, which is really something I never experienced until late in life, is keeping in touch is amazing, but it's actually also like makes it worse.
Yeah. To a degree, because you kind of have to like forget about it in order for it to not bother you. But you and I are like so in touch and so simpatico. I don't think you ever miss me.
No. Excuse me. That's true.
Or do you?
But also when we FaceTime, like I don't have this insane desire to bite your face.
That's beautiful. And
no, you know what I mean? You won't even let me give you a hug. Okay. Like you don't even like to be touched. True or false?
Hurt.
But with Harry, it's like I see him and like I have to smother my face into his like his neck. Like,
yeah.
So, and not being able to do that. Like, I can do everything I need to do with you on FaceTime. I can't do anything I actually need to do with Harry on FaceTime. Therein lies the problem with being away from your loved ones.
I understand.
So you actually, like, your whole life being, like, very physical touch averse is now working in your favor. Because honestly, I don't even miss you.
Okay. Like, I get it. You miss me so much and you're pushing me away. I got it.
No, actually, I'm saying, like, I actually really don't miss you because I talk to you every single day. And even when I see you, like, I come to your house from the airport, we don't even hug. Like, you don't even like to be hugged.
It's so true.
So our relationship is really kind of the same.
We're coming to see you next week, but then, like, you are due for a visit. So start planning.
I am due for a visit. Maybe, I do.
Maybe Q, like, January.
Q1. I'll be there in the new year. That's, by the way, so tonight is my last show of NLOG before the two next week that I film. So, like, it's kind of over, but not. And my 2023 is wide open. And I'm making 2023, like, the year about me. Like, I did a lot of amazing things this year, but I worked incessantly because I was on tour. And I'm definitely taking a break from tour. So, like, 2023 is the year of me. Like, I'm doing things that I want. I'm traveling. Like, I literally just watched Sex and the City, too. And I feel like this is the second time this week I'm saying this. But I have the luxury of designing my own life. I'm a business owner. I don't have children yet. Like, that's not going to be the case for much longer. And 2023 is the year of me. Like, I'm going where I want. I'm doing what I want. And I'm bringing my podcast microphone with me.
Where do you want to go?
Like, I want to go to Harry's house. And then I want to go to Kayla's house.
Manifest. Like, give me three places that you want to go in 2023. Number one being Paris.
No, I definitely do want to go to Europe. Like, Paris or London. That's one.
Okay.
I would love to go on like a Caribbean trip. My favorite, you know, Virgin Islands.
That's not like new for you, but okay.
Oh, it has to be new?
No, like, okay. It has to be new. Something that like you didn't do in 2022.
Okay.
That you are prioritizing in 23.
Paris, London, somewhere in Europe. I've never been. Two, somewhere in the States I've never been, like a Wyoming or a Montana. That's especially because I told you one of my goals in like the next couple of years is I really want to go to all 50 states. And with tour, that makes it really easy. But I like probably will never tour in like Wyoming or Montana. I just don't think there's like a big toaster community there. So I would definitely like to see that. I don't know when the best time of year to go is. Probably like ski season.
Yeah, it really is ski season if you ski. But since you don't, like spring, summer would be really great. And by the way, when you do plan that, call me up. I'll be
yeah.
there.
I definitely want to go to one of those. And then three.
You have to. No, this is what you have to do. This is your 2023 homework. You have to watch Yellowstone and then we will go to Montana.
Okay.
Don't you want to learn about the places that you're going? It makes it so much more enjoyable. I feel like when I think back to like places that I've been that I could give two shits about and now I like would care so much.
Yeah. That's true.
What's three?
Okay.
Not to like tell you how to live your life, but yeah.
Sounds like that's what you're doing.
No, I'm just like looking out for you.
For my third trip, I don't know. I feel really good about those two.
It like, doesn't let's have not to set- be, maybe not a trip, but like something that you want to do, a skill.
Oh, I want to go to Stagecoach. I've missed it for like the last 3 years.
Great. Done.
Those are my resolutions.
I love that for you.
Yeah. What about you? What do you want in the new year?
I can't even think that far ahead because right now I'm so close to reaching one of my goals that once I reach it, like I'm taking a break from goals.
Oh, I totally feel
and
that.
And that's getting my license. Like once I get my license, like I'm on hiatus from goal reaching.
Road trip.
That's my goal.
You should. That's a good one. I feel like down in Florida, there's actually a lot of like good places you can go with like within 2-3 hours.
Disney.
Oh my God. When are you going to take Harry to Disney?
Not until he's begging me to go.
No, it literally, like, that's a part of parenthood. I refuse. Like, I can't.
No, but the toasters have really changed my mind because they comment on it every time we talk about it. And they're like, it's fucking lit. You go to Epcot, you get drinks. Like, the kids love it. It's good stuff.
Getting drinks with my kids does not sound fun.
It doesn't work for me, honestly, just with my physical being. But
right.
It's a good environment.
No, but, like, for me, like, if I'm going to be drinking, I'm going to be, like, popping my pussy, like, chain smoking. Like, I can't do that in front of my kids.
When the kids go to sleep.
That's when I become real. A Disney adult.
That's when you become a Disney adult.
Totally. And Jonah, by the way, if you think Jackie was tough on people with blankies, I can only imagine what your like true thoughts are on like people who are obsessed with Disney and like the infantilization of.
Not as my thoughts aren't as strong as yours. Like when you make your case, I'm like, yeah, that's kind of weird. But like, okay, to go to Disney like once a year as an adult. Whatever, it's your vacation, spend it how you want. To be dependent on an inanimate object that harks back to you being an infant, no.
Jackie, you're underestimating what it is. Like,
no, but like people can have interests that I.
No, but I'm saying it's not once a year. It's like literally moving to Orlando to be near Disney, going every weekend, literally spending every dollar you have on photos with Mickey. Like, it's an obsession. It's not like, oh, I love, like, people, we know a few people who love Disney who, like, go as adults with their friends. Like, that's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
People who literally uproot their lives to be closer to Orlando.
People who spend their wedding money on bringing Mickey and Minnie and not having dinner at the...
Yeah, people who forego catering just to have Mickey and Minnie be there to cut their cake, yeah.
And then what do their guests say, Claudia?
I want my dinner now. That's what they say.
Yeah.
So it's just a little bit about me. Are you ready to dive in?
I am ready to dive into the Fast Five stories that you need to know.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I was trying to figure out a way to work the Streis brothers in there, but I didn't say adieu, so it was over.
Well, it's never too late to do it again.
Without further ado, where are the Streis brethren? They don't work anymore. Who knows what they get into during this hour, except I know that Bryce stands outside the door and waits for me the entire time while I do the show because he loves his mommy. He just doesn't want to work. Where's Theodora?
He's at home. Actually, he's on his walk right now. What I'm about to do next is just for the YouTube people, so podcast, just give me a second. Without further ado, I just dabbed, you know, because I'm a TikToker.
That's fucking
no,
sick.
No, I'm sorry. That's not a dab. That's a whoa. It's whoa.
That's so cool.
This
Claude.
Is a dab. I'm so sick, bro. Oh my God, stay away from me. I'm contagious. I'm so sick.
Rafua Shlema.
Thank you. Get well soon, motherfucker.
Without further ado, here are the Fast Five stories that McClardia needs to know.
And today's episode is brought to you by a sponsor I've been waiting to come back because it is that time of year where Mrs. Fields is doing her holiday gift sets.
Mrs. Fields sent me her holiday gift set and she changed my life.
When I tell you I have not stopped thinking about this box of cookies since last season, mm-hmm. Of course, Mrs. Fields cookies are great year-round, but there's something really special about the holiday ones. So, I'm sorry, I lost my copy.
You lost your curds?
Oh, here, sorry. So this holiday season, we want everyone to have joy, give joy, feel joy. Ain't that right? Well, who doesn't love fresh from the oven, melt in your mouth cookies? Mrs. Fields has just what the doctor ordered. It is feel good giving at its best. Mrs. Fields is going to wrap up your delicious cookies in unique, creative packages that will thrill the people who get them. So I have a bunch of people I need to send gifts to. And the Mrs. Fields cookies, I'm telling you, I sent last year. It is, first of all, nobody does it. Like, that I know. So like I'm feeling unique and you're going to like be stunted on all the other gift givers. The cookies are so good. There's like layers and layers of sweet treats. Like you open the box, you think they're done, but no, you lift up the thing. There's more cookies. They're so delicious. Get one for yourself. Obviously, like send yourself a gift just so that you can enjoy it while also giving it to all the important people in your life. They have tons of different varieties of cookies, classic flavors like chocolate chip, but also salted caramel, frosted cookies, brownie bites. So there's something that everyone will love. It is the perfect gift for grandparents, parents, kids, friends, coworkers, clients. It is something that will thrill any person at any age and whatever their taste is. And we know for over 45 years, Mrs. Fields has perfected that fresh baked gourmet treats. Mrs. Fields is a girly that you can trust. We are girlies you can trust. Everything is so yummy. The packaging is gorgeous. And right now, Mrs. Fields is giving the best deal available only to our podcast listeners. Get 25% off everything site-wide when you go to mrsfields.com/toast. That's mrsfields.com/toast. Exclusive deal just for us. 25% off everything at mrsfields.com/toast, mrsfields.com/toast. You will thank us later on that one. Today's episode is also brought to you by Diff Eyewear. So Diff Eyewear sunnies are pulling double duty for us. When I wake up not feeling flawless, the oversized trendy shades can handle anything that life has to throw at me. So we all know that oversized sunglass look is very glamorous and it can make every outfit into an actual fashion moment. But I really love them because they transcend fashion and they become a functional need. They look fab. They can hide your puffy under eyes. If you're hungover, you have a migraine, your mascara is running, Diff Eyewear has you covered. And they have so many chic oversized Diff shades like the Goldies, the Glam Becky 2s. They really get the job done. We like to call them our hangover shades because after too much fun on a Saturday night, heading out the next day, you'll feel your red puffy eyes on fleek. If you have a headache, the Diff Eyewear oversized sunglasses are here to help. If you have a bad breakup, you spent all night crying over your ex, you don't want to leave your apartment, don't worry, Diff Eyewear has you covered. They will rescue you when you want to save face and make your outfit a bit more fab. So Diff Eyewear is just the affordable sunglass solution. I'm always on the hunt for like oversized, like huge sunglasses that make my face look nice and small. I have gotten a ton of different pairs from Diff Eyewear. They're super affordable. They're really well made and they're stunning. So visit diffeyewear.com/toast for a chance to win $1,000 cash and score your own Diff sunnies for a year. Plus, you can score a sweet deal for the holidays. They're offering an amazing 50% off on their website right now, which is diffeyewear.com/toast. And make sure you check that out for a chance to win $1,000 cash and score your own Diff sunnies for an entire year.
Thank you, McClard.
You're welcome.
Okay, our first story is a couple royal tings because it's a battle of the couples. First up, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle share their dramatic trailer for their Netflix show. Harry and Meghan,
I just think calling it a trailer is a bit of an exaggeration. I mean, it's a video montage.
It's technically a trailer because they're it's a video, they're promoting the new show. They have a lot of images and a couple quotes. So here it is. Meghan and Harry are finally giving fans a look at their highly anticipated Netflix docuseries right in the middle of William and Kate's Boston trip, which we will get to. The trailer for Harry and Meghan dropped Thursday morning and shows photos taken throughout their relationship, including images of Meghan looking glum at royal events and even crying, and brief footage of their new life in California. The quotes include Harry narrating, saying, quote, "No one sees what's happening behind closed doors." Then Meghan asks, "When the stakes are this high, doesn't it matter? Doesn't it make more sense to hear our story from us?" And then there's a bunch of black and white images from them over the years. Some of like things that we've seen, the umbrella picture obviously kicked everything off, but also of intimate personal moments. And what's so crazy is like we never see, you know, selfies from the couples because they don't really like use Instagram like the rest of us. But there are still people and they take photos of themselves. They have iPhones. They have all of these pictures that like I just can't, I never imagined seeing them in this context, like at a photo booth, like doing a kiss in a photo booth. And so it's really like nice to see them.
Humanizes.
Yeah. And I'm sure even like William and Kate have pictures like this that we'll never see because that's just like not how the pictures are all like, you know, portraits and stuff like that or paparazzi photos. So to see them like in royal life behind the scenes, it was cool.
So the trailer really gave us nothing. Like, let's be honest. It was a video montage with like one scene of Meghan and one scene of Harry in like a confessional. So I still don't really even know what the documentary is like about. I'm assuming it's like a tell all of the last couple of years. So it's like a bit of a tease. So I'm like, I'm wanting more. But what I found to be the most interesting was there was a picture of William and Kate. And that was like when the music stopped and became like dark. Like I think that was like a signal that this is not going to be a friendly documentary.
Of course. And the picture of them, they're like scowling and looking nastily at something. Evil. And what are they looking at? What is that picture from Exactly. It's obviously going to be, if they were trying to mend the relationship, you can tell from this documentary, that's not the direction that they're headed in. All up until today, like, I thought that their docuseries was just going to be like, here's us and our life in California, almost like a reality show. But I feel like this is a documentary about the last 5 years since Megan joined the family. They Megxited and now they live in California, which I guess makes more sense and is a little more dignified than a reality show.
Agreed.
And so Megan says, when the stakes are this high, doesn't it make sense to hear from us? Yes. Like, there's so much going on. There's so much that's said. Like, let them just say it in their own words, especially now that they can, that they're no longer working royals. But then it just reminds me, like, they did an Oprah interview. Megan has a podcast. Like, we've heard everything. I feel like they've said it all. So what are they going to be saying? And if it's so major, why didn't they say it at Oprah?
No. So, yes, that. And I just don't know how many times you can tell your story, because Harry's also writing a book.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, is it crazy, or like, is anyone else getting a little bit of fatigue from this?
Yeah. And I feel like with everything that they do, it is so edited, produced, even, you know, her podcast, as we were saying yesterday, this documentary, like, it doesn't get more curated than all of these pictures that they've shared. It's their story. Like, and so, how many times are we going to hear the same side of the story?
Right. Well, her podcast really didn't tell any story. It's not even about, it's not about royals. It's not about any of that.
Sometimes she talks about, so every episode is an archetype that people use to describe women. So then she'll talk about her experience with that word. And a lot of times it does have to do with things that happened in the last 5 years.
Yeah, but it wasn't like a,
no, it's it wasn't not like every week we're going week by week about what I experienced when I joined the royal family.
It wasn't a tell-all. The Oprah interview was a tell-all. I'm assuming the book is a tell-all, and I'm assuming the documentary is a tell-all. And if all, that's just a lot of tell-alls.
Yeah, for someone who has a weekly platform where you can share what's going on and how you're feeling.
Like, when I tell you I'll be the first person to watch this, like, I'm so curious.
Of course.
I'm just like, am I, like, so delusional that, like, I just feel like there's, like, until this documentary comes out, like, I feel like there's, like, a smidgen of hope. Even though, did you see? I had seen a rumor that was, like, totally unsubstantiated that Kate was going to be on Archetypes.
Literally, that would never
happen. Never. I know. But, like, I'm holding out hope, you know?
That would never happen.
No, and the season finale of Archetypes just
honestly
came out.
Honestly, so, like, I feel like I could say with certainty that Kate would sooner be on The Toast than Archetypes, honestly.
Totally.
If I was a betting woman, I would place that bet sooner.
Oh my God, by the way, that's literally such a good bet. Like, if somebody said to Kate, like, gun to your head, you have to go on one of these podcasts, she would choose us.
Yeah. Why? Like, because even if she were to sit one, they're never gonna, Kate actually has done a podcast in the past, so it's, like, not that crazy, but they're never gonna sit down and tell their side of the story, because that's not what being a royal is. And if she were ever to do that and to get into the weeds, it wouldn't be on Megan's platform. It would be just somewhere neutral.
Right.
Like The Toast.
Right. So even though we're not neutral, because we, like, love The Crown.
Yes. No, we're not neutral. But I'm just saying, like, I'm neither one of theirs.
Yeah.
It would be an away game.
The way I think about this now is, like, Queen has passed away. We know Harry's relationship with his dad is really bad. So they really have nothing to lose. So I'm assuming it's going to be brutal.
No, I think that what they have to lose now, it's the titles for the kids.
For their kids, yeah.
That's the one thing that Charles is holding out. And even though things are really bad, like, I still think before this movie comes out and before the book comes out, it's not impossible to say that one day they might make amends.
It's not irreparable right now.
It might take years, but if they never talk shit again, they could maybe, like, come back from this in a few years. Once the docuseries is out there and the book is out there, and then he's in a, like, a 3-book contract, so there's got to be more that he has to share. Yeah. Then I think it's done.
Yeah.
Though it is pretty done, but you never know, because sometimes with family, like,
it's family.
It thaws. It just does. Yep. Like, you can't say when it will happen. Just one day, like, you wake up and it has thawed.
100%. So that's why it's not impossible, but I don't know what lies in that documentary, and I don't know what lies in that manuscript.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of even, like, this season of The Crown with Diana, where there was a few interviews that she did, and, like, the first one was, like, bad, But then everyone like got used to it and it was just like whatever. But then it wasn't until Martin Bashir that I was like, okay, mm-hmm. now we will encourage a divorce. You two can no longer be together. Even though like all along over the years, like there were things that were bad, but we're going to still make it work. We're a family. And then it was like too far gone.
Yeah, no, it's very similar.
And I just feel like if this trailer had dropped and there was never that like William and Kate photo and music change moment, you could make the case Same. That this is just about Meghan and Harry and they're telling their yeah. story, but there is clearly, you know, more that they're going to share and it's going to be anti-family.
Or perhaps we're looking too much into it, but it's because they literally gave us nothing in the trailer.
No. There was literally nothing confusing about that moment.
Yeah, totally.
Like they're...
So I can't wait to watch this. Like I'm... What? But they said coming soon. We didn't even get a date.
But it is coming in December. That's the latest that I had heard.
Great to watch with a family. Add it to the list of holiday viewing. Where the Crawdads Sing.
The Whale.
The Whale, Meghan and Harry.
You know what? We do have a list. Oh, and Spirited, or whatever that movie is.
Spirited?
That Will Ferrell movie.
Oh, yeah. The holiday movie with Will Ferrell and Ryan Reynolds.
Hold on, Crawdads.
When you go home for the holidays and you need someone to watch.
Oh, wow. We have a lot of really good... Oh, no. But we were joking about watching Harry and Meghan with your family.
Why?
I don't know. Not everyone cares.
No, I feel like in one way or another, like everyone kind of cares.
Okay, I'll add it. I'm surprised it's Harry and Meghan and not Meghan and Harry, by the way.
Well,
the name of
that's
it
true. I guess, like, what's it called?
The name of it is Harry and Meghan.
That's weird because, like, everyone calls them Meghan and Harry.
No, it can go either way. So I'm surprised that they didn't lead with Meghan because, like, that's just more.
She's the main character here.
No, and it's, like, very patriarchal for the man to be first.
No, so true. But is it, like, a royal thing? Like, does he have to be introduced first?
I don't think so.
Right. And they don't even live in the UK.
No, this is like a formal, it's a title of a show. Right.
No, I don't know. I feel like they could have done like more with a title.
What would you have liked to see?
I don't know. It's not my job to be creative. It's Netflix.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Like Spare, you know?
Spare. Such a great name.
Right.
Are you ready for, our next story is just royal story subset B, which is that William and Kate are in the States. They went mm-hmm. to a Boston Celtics game last night and they flew commercial here.
I saw British Airways.
They flew commercial, which just underscores my point that if the future king of England and future queen can fly commercial, then all of these big celebrities who are talking about climate change can fly commercial.
No, I was not expecting that. I wanted to look at pictures of them, so I just like Googled it and it said British Airways flight. I'm like, you're kidding. I mean, I'm sure they bought out the whole first class cabin, but still.
No, they didn't, because fellow passengers were taking pictures.
You're kidding.
Maybe they had like extra seats for their security and stuff, but I don't think they bought out the whole cabin.
Do you think they like hated that?
No, I don't think so. I'm sure it's like nicer for them to fly on the royal jet, but I think also that they want people to see them.
They're leading by example.
Yeah, and that like, I think it's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, so the story. William and Kate were cheered on by sports fans at the Celtics game last night. The Celtics played the Miami Heat on Wednesday, and they were both received by the owner of the Celtics before sitting courtside. The couple arrived in town on Wednesday for a 3-day trip, which will culminate in the Earthshot Prize ceremony on Friday. So there's like this big event.
Right, like they're here to do work for like climate change. Like they really could not have flown private.
So true. Or else we'd be roasting them.
I'm also shocked to see them courtside and like not in a suite. It feels like, you know, it would be a safety issue. They're just like with the peeps, with the commoners.
Yeah, but I think they probably have their security like working, you know, tirelessly. And I think the image of them being courtside is better for them than the image of them being in a suite.
Yeah. Do you think the players like were at all fazed by it? It's like really big deal. I feel like sitting presidents like don't go to basketball games. Like it's not a thing that really happens.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe some players who are into the crown.
Right, maybe they don't care.
Some people legit don't care about the royal family, like especially in America. I used to be one of those people.
Yeah. Right. It's so crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. It was cute. that they're like being normies. And they're going to this event. Like Billie Eilish is performing, Ellie Goulding, who also performed at their wedding.
Yeah, no, they love Ellie Goulding.
I mean, who doesn't?
I mean, somebody DM'd me last night that Kate and William were at the Garden. And I'm like, you're fucking kidding me. But they were at TD Garden.
There's only one Garden.
Yeah, let's be real. Do not call TD Garden the Garden. There's one Garden.
It's the Garden of Eden.
100%. God bless. God bless. So, by the way, do you think, like, the timing of this release has anything to do with William and Kate being in the U.S.? Like, Harry and Meghan, like, asserting, just in case, this is my country now.
You saw them flying commercial and sitting courtside and your heart's warming towards them? Here's a trailer to remind you who the real prince and princess of the U.S. are.
Right. I feel like the timing is kind of interesting.
Yeah. I would say, considering there are so many days of the year.
Right.
And they are on a 3-day trip.
And yes. By the way, that was what a lot of the rumors about Kate and Meghan's like initial issues with each other were that like Kate's team or Meghan's team like were planned, like their PR teams were being shady. That was like a huge contentious thing that was like written, like rumored about them. So it seems like this is kind of playing into that rumor. Cause I definitely found the timing to be interesting. Like literally William and Kate haven't been to the States since 2014. The day they get here, the next morning, the trailer drops.
Of course. Yeah. No, I don't think that's a coincidence.
Oh, and when they were on the plane, there's another story about some woman's Twitter.
With Camilla.
Camilla, thank you. I couldn't remember her name. So it's like, I just find the timing interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that they don't mind if William and Kate's U.S. visit is overshadowed.
Is overshadowed or just like putting a dent in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not like they're doing a whole tour, like, you know.
Of the entire country,
like we've
yeah.
seen them do on The Crown sometimes. Like, it's just 3 days. Like, it's, I don't think
and
that
it's
any
only Boston.
Hearts and minds are going to be really changed by them going to Boston for 3 days.
No, and I feel like at this point, like, either you love Harry and Meghan or you love William and Kate. Like, there's, like, people. I think people have chosen their sides.
Yeah, I think so, too.
So, I don't know how much can be done to, like, change public perception.
Yeah. So, looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Next up, a little romance drama over at GMA. From
oh, my God, yes.
Stars to lovers. GMA anchors Amy Robach and TJ Holmes' romance is revealed as the two married or formerly married separated co-hosts are seen cozying up at a New York City bar, spending a romantic weekend away upstate, and holding hands in an Uber. So Daily Mail can reveal that GMA...
How did they know that?
What?
How do they know they were holding hands in an Uber?
Photos.
The driver?
There's pictures of them. At a bar.
Who took them?
There's pictures of them upstate and she's leaning over to put something in the trunk and he's touching her booty.
No, but how do they know they were holding hands in the back of an Uber?
They were holding hands in an Uber. Like they're getting out of the Uber holding hands. So.
Oh, so somebody took a photo from the street?
Yes, from the street. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
There's just all these like photos of them in various states and days. And oh, I'm sorry. There's a picture of them from the window. And you could see them holding hands of the Uber.
By the way, who the fuck like would be able to recognize like a random GMA host on the street?
I don't
Unless
know.
Unless it's like Robin
honestly,
Roberts.
These pictures kind of look like they're being tailed. Like there's some of them in a bar. And I guess if you watch GMA every morning and you were in that bar, like you could.
Oh, my God, Jackie, you're 100% right. It's like a PI.
Yeah. Like maybe a publication got tipped off that they're having an affair. And so they started following them and getting these pictures.
No. Maybe one of their spouses had a feeling, literally sent, got a PI, got photos and sold them to Page Six. That's what I think.
Yeah, maybe. It's one of those things.
Because to see someone getting out of a car and have enough time to grab a photo of it on your phone, like, that's insane.
No, these pictures look, and then they're upstate and there's pictures. So this person followed right. them upstate. Like someone was trying to capture evidence of their affair. Yes.
So true. So true.
But honestly, the pictures are like sweet and GMA has put out a statement saying that they were both separated from their spouses before they got together. But
how convenient.
The deets are this. Amy and TJ's friendship has evolved into a full-blown romantic relationship off screen. The two co-anchors whose on-screen chemistry captivated audiences after they joined GMA's third hour in 2020 can be seen together enjoying flirty post-work drinks at a New York City bar earlier this month. They have also been snapped spending alone time together in each other's apartments and shacking up in the secluded cottage in upstate New York for a romantic getaway 2 weeks before Thanksgiving. According to insiders, the two are said to have gone from co-stars to lovers in June when they were in London together covering the Queen's Diamond Jubilee for ABC.
Oh, my God.
It always comes back to the Queen.
100%.
TJ had been married to his wife, Marilee, with whom he shares a daughter since 2010. And the same year, Amy had married her actor husband, Andrew Shue. So now sources are saying that they were dating in the open after separating from their spouses in August. But the other source says that they started being romantic in June. So if they separated in August, but this GMA plan is saying that like they were separated first and then they got together. This was two. They said this was two consenting adults who were each separated. But they both broke up with their spouses in August within weeks of each other. The relationship didn't start until after that.
Listen, I would believe it if I now wasn't convinced that somebody was following them. Like, that makes it seem nefarious, not like totally conveniently timed.
Yeah, I agree with you. And
oh, and by the way, now they have to get married.
Of course, but I don't know if I'm just like toxic. Obviously, I hate to see a marriage break up, especially when there's kids. Like, it's terrible.
But this is like a meet cute.
They ship so fucking hard. I hope that they continue to like host the hour together, be in love. Like they need to weather this PR storm, but I think it's,
and this will either make them or break them.
I think that this is really cute.
That's funny.
Am I the only one?
I don't know enough about these people. I've never seen
and
their
like,
show.
It's not like, you know, one's the boss and it's not like,
right.
Some, like
it's equal.
It's not like, you know, Chris Cuomo is being with an intern. Like they're equals. Right. They work together. They do the show together. Like,
by the way, not Chris. What's his name?
No, Governor Andrew.
Andrew. Oh my God.
Yes.
I literally cannot remember his name.
I was using like another name, but no, as far as I know, Chris was never with an intern. And no. If he was, that's not why he even got fired.
No, he got fired because
he was helping his brother.
Right.
So it's not like a Matt Lauer situation.
Right. No, I agree. Like there's no,
these are, as stated, these are two consenting adults
right.
who got together. Now, if they did cheat on their spouses, like that is wrong. But again, that's not a crime.
It's frowned upon.
And that's like what they're choosing to do in their personal lives. And so you can, I guess, judge them for that. But I don't think either one of them should like not come back to the show.
No, I agree. But if they do break up, it'll be hella weird.
Well, then they'll move around the hours and stuff. But yeah. I think that they should give this a shot. I think this is going to be great for the third hour. I think people are going to be tuning in to like see like the chemistry.
I agree.
If I was someone who has been watching GMA for the last few months, I would go back and look at those August episodes and be like, can I tell a difference?
I agree. No, this is like a PR moment for this random third hour.
I think it's a great moment, except I saw today that TJ did the third hour by himself.
Oh, no, maybe she's taking it harder than he is.
Or maybe the network just wants to see how things shake out. But if anybody from GMA is listening, like, get those two together on the air. Embrace.
Let's embrace it.
Embrace the moment. They didn't just, like, hook up. They've had this relationship going on. I think it's all good.
No, Jackie's 100% right. 100% right.
Let's turn this negative to a positive.
100%.
Like, the pictures aren't, like, embarrassing or anything. Like, they're really sweet.
They're sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So those are my thoughts.
And the truth is, like, the public will truly never know whether it was an affair or perfectly timed. And to be honest, until we have solid proof, I guess we have no choice but to believe them.
Yeah, exactly. And it could always be like, you know, you think this way. I think like he said, she said.
Unless a spouse speaks out, that's what'll happen.
Yeah.
But when I tell you I've never heard of either of these people and now I'm like invested, that's good PR. Like that's what they say. There's no such thing as bad press.
Yeah, but she does look really familiar. I feel like she was doing something recently, like maybe even the Thanksgiving Day parade, and I saw her.
Maybe, yeah.
So I think they could be the next hosting duo, like Kathy
You'd
Lee and
love
Hoda.
To see it.
Amy and
well,
TJ.
Well, are there a lot of married co-hosting duos?
I can only think of the one, Minka and Joe.
Yes.
That's what comes to mind.
Yeah.
I think it goes well for them. Except the show is called
well
The Morning Joe, right? It's like, what about me?
Right. It's giving patriarchy.
It is.
Well, thank you for that.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
If we could just briefly pause before we moving on, just to let everyone know that today's episode is sponsored by Perfect Bar. Don't go nuts this holiday season. Fuel yourself with the Perfect Bar, the original refrigerated protein bar. Made with freshly ground nut butter, organic honey, and 20 organic superfoods, Perfect Bar has a variety of products like protein bars, little snack size bars, and they're all so good and good for you. You'll be sure to find something you love, like the dark chocolate chip peanut butter, which is a favorite of mine, the sea salt Perfect Bar, which I know is a favorite of Jackie's. Super delicious. They have cookie dough texture that's creamy and full of flavor. And you keep them in the refrigerator, which honestly is making all other bars look bad because I had never thought about how kind of gross it is that, like, these are supposed to be, like, fresh nuts, grains, like, and we're keeping them in the pantry. So the Perfect Bar knows that it will be love at first bite. So for a limited time, they're offering you a chance to try their refrigerated protein bars for free. Here's how it'll work. Sign up for email or text and upload a picture of your receipt from your local grocery store and they'll reimburse you for the cost of one bar. It'll go directly into your Venmo or PayPal account, which is pretty cool. All you have to do is go to perfectsnacks.com/toast to get a free Perfect Bar today. It's perfectsnacks.com/toast to get a free Perfect Bar today. Happy snacking. I know you love the Perfect Bars because you are perfect to me.
I do. I grabbed one yesterday because we were doing podcasts back to back. Didn't have time to sit down for a full meal, but needed my nutrients ASAP. And it was so tasty. And I was genuinely, my hunger didn't hit me again until way later. So I love the Perfect Bar. It is the Perfect Bar.
Today's episode is also brought to you by Tommy John. Imagine getting everyone on your list the perfect gift. Well, shop Tommy John's Cyber Monday sale right now and spread the joy of cozy. Okay, I'm a pajama like snob. I have this blue set of pajamas from Tommy John. They are perfect. They're literally perfect. The material is so thin but so warm, but it's like not going to keep making me hot. I have been obsessed since I got in the mail like 2 weeks ago. In Tommy John, you're that much more comfortable so you can do everything better. You can shop Tommy John's Cyber Monday sale, give the gift of comfort to everyone on your list, including yourself. They have new Tommy John underwear, loungewear, and pajamas. With over 18 million pairs sold, giving Tommy John has become a holiday tradition. 97% of women and men love getting a gift from Tommy John, and that's why Tommy John doesn't just have customers. They have fanatics. When I tell you I can't sing the praises of these pajamas enough, also I got like a nice, very relaxing bra. It's like not a bra, it's more of like I call it a relaxation bra. It's like a bralette almost. Ben calls it the relaxation bra. Like when I walk in, he's like, oh my god, relaxation bra, because like it's a very like
you
low
wear it
key
when you're relaxing
bra. Exactly. So if you want to shop the Cyber Monday sale at Tommy John, do that now and get 33% off everything plus free shipping at tommyjohn.com/toast. It's one of Tommy John's biggest sales of the year. 33% off everything plus free shipping at tommyjohn.com/toast. See site for details. tommyjohn.com/toast.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Are you ready for our next story that Kim Kardashian planted in TMZ?
Oh, yeah. I saw my thoughts were exactly the same. Like, how convenient the source had such, you know, vindicating information for your girl Kim.
And insider information. Right. Kim Kardashian declined a new campaign offer from Balenciaga before breaking her silence on the child sex controversy. They call it like the BDSM controversy. No, it's the
That's
children.
What it is.
We're not mad about BDSM. We're mad about the children and
no,
BDSM.
BDSM is in fashion all the time and nobody cares. You're putting it on children. That's when we're going to be like, what?
Yep. Kim Kardashian announced she's, quote, reevaluating her future with Balenciaga, but it appears she's made up her mind, declining an offer from the brand and ditching outfits she was said to wear at upcoming events. Sources with direct knowledge of the situation told TMZ the design house presented Kim an offer to do a 2023 Balenciaga campaign before the controversial child BDSM ads went live. We're told once those ads went public, Kim made the decision to reject the offer, even before releasing a statement on the issue where she didn't really distance herself from the brand. Not only that, TMZ sources say, aka Chris and Kim, said that Kim had plans to wear Balenciaga outfits at events she's attending in coming months, but she's pulled the plug and contacted other designers for new options.
She's a hero.
So as, just to remind you then, so Kim allegedly, according to TMZ and Chris and Kim, Kim turned down, she saw the campaign with the kids, she turned down future
this
collaborations
pending
with them.
Offer that she had.
And then she released a statement, you know, denouncing child sex abuse and normalizing children in inappropriate sexual situations, though she didn't tell the public that she's no longer going to be working with Balenciaga and that she declined this campaign. And then people were not really here for her paltry response to the child pedophilic normalization that Balenciaga put forth. And then it is revealed that Kim actually is not even working with them, and just she didn't tell us that, but she wasn't going to be working with them after she saw those images anyway.
I mean, the Kardashians are supposed to be better than this. They've been in this industry for a long time. They've navigated many scandals. And, like, this is just, like, a hatchet job. It's really reflecting poorly on Kim, I think, even from some of her biggest fans and, like, biggest apologists. So I don't know where we go from here. But, like, this turnt-ass article isn't helping.
No, it's not helping. I agree. This is a hatchet job, and they're supposed to be better and savvier than this. And I don't know what the truth is. I think Kim thought it wouldn't affect
be as big of a deal.
Her fans and the way that they perceive her as much as it has. And I guess sometimes it is hard to know, like, what's going to be that thing. People get the Kardashians hate all the time, but, like, the fans, we are there. Like, we're tried and true. And we're like, you guys just hate, and you hate for no reason. Right. And even, like, the biggest fans are like, this is disappointing. And it's really, like, changed things for me, honestly.
No, which because you want to know why.
Coming from us.
No, because you want to know, I really think, why it's changed something for me is because what people have said over the years about Kim, which I feel like is so unfair, it's like the Kardashians are just, like, obsessed with fame, obsessed with money, and they have, like, no values. And it's like, that's not true, because you watch a show and, like, you know these girls, like, they're family, like, they're emotional, like, they care about things, they care about one another, they do a lot of good work. And then something like this happens where it's, like, so clearly an issue over, like, it's, like, values or money, and it felt like Kim chose the money, and this is, like, such a... like an unethical situation. And it almost feels like everything anyone has said about her is, like, being validated. And it's like, damn, like, even at the situation where the right answer is so obvious and it doesn't even require that much from you. It's you ending, like, a shit campaign. Maybe you'll lose money, and her not doing even the bare minimum. It's like, it's so disappointing. Like, it really is, from someone who, like, I feel like we've, like, really looked up to.
Yeah, I don't feel exactly the same as you. Like, I don't feel like this confirms everything that people have said about Kim and, like, the Kardashians being money obsessed, because for some reason, and I might be totally wrong about this, but I don't think Kim has made that much money working with Balenciaga. I don't think it's her biggest paycheck. I don't think that they have that much money to pay her, especially compared to, like, what Kmart could pay her.
Right.
I think for her, it's about prestige.
No, being obsessed with being accepted by the fashion world.
Right. And Balenciaga has...
because she was rejected for so many years.
She was rejected, and then she was accepted as Kanye's plus one.
Right.
And then she was accepted on her own, but now she is the sitting chairwoman of the fashion industry right next to Anna Wintour, and, like, mm-hmm. doesn't want to give that up. I think what Kim doesn't realize is, like, for us lay people, like, she is the fashion industry. What she wears, we all look to. I feel like also there was this weird storyline where she, like, doesn't have a sense of style, and Balenciaga became her sense of style. And one, I think it's pretty ugly, but maybe there's, like, a piece of her that thinks it's the shit and, like, she can't wear anything else and, like, this is who she is. I don't know what it is that's keeping her with them. I can't figure it out. I don't think it's money. I think, yes, it's a little bit money. It's like, yes, the prestige. I don't know what it is that
I don't think she wants to be perceived by, like, high fashion as, like, a whistleblower.
Oh, that's so true. That, like, she turned on Balenciaga. Because right, everybody else, like, no one in the fashion industry. Has Anna said anything?
No, Nicole Kidman. Like, nobody has. None of the other spokespeople.
Take away the Balenciaga spokespeople. The fashion, any other houses said anything, creative directors, magazine editors, no.
No, so Kim doesn't want to be perceived as the whistleblower.
Who went hard against Balenciaga, yeah, it might.
It would damage her reputation in the industry that's supposed to protect, they're all problematic.
Yeah.
John Galliano.
That could be what it is then.
And everyone's wearing John Galliano. Like, I mean, even you, everyone, like, loves her. Coco Chanel was, like, a Nazi girly. Mm-hmm. Like, the fashion industry is hella problematic, and, like, it's not a thing that you talk about. So if Kim's going to talk about it, she's no longer going to be the it girl of high fashion.
Okay. So that's probably what it is. But if she starts to see that, like,
it's affecting her fans.
Affecting her fans and, like, her true fans, not just, like, fair weather fans or haters, then I think that that audience is much more important to her than the high fashion audience. So maybe that's why she's course correcting a little bit now, and maybe she won't work with Balenciaga but isn't going to come out against them. She'll plant a story that's like, hey, fans, I'm doing the right thing, but I'm not going to say something crazy about Balenciaga. That way I can have my cake and eat it too.
It's cowardly.
Yeah. And this does nothing. As a fan who's, like, turning, this does nothing to bring me back.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So who would have thought?
Who would have thought?
be some sex teddy bears that just came between us and Kim.
No, totally. She has to do more.
There was a story yesterday that the family had like a family meeting at Travis Barker's studio. Did you see that?
No.
I don't know why the press like said it was a family meeting when it was like all of them showed up to Travis's studio. They were there and it was the sun was out and they left when the sun was down. And like, what were they doing there if not to like have a meeting? I feel like it was like a crisis dinner. Meeting about this. The headlines didn't even mention Balenciaga. They said it was a family meeting about Kim's settlement. What?
No, Kim's settlement news is so uninteresting to me.
They're trying to make it interesting because so people are talking about Kim's settlement. Like, who gives a shit about Kim's settlement? Like, it's not like it changes anything in either of their lives. They both have so much money.
You're so right. The way that like all the details are like being pushed out, like on so you're so right. They're trying to make
$200,000 a month to raise. No,
who cares? That's not even a lot.
Don't care.
You're both billionaires.
Doesn't matter who pays for the kids. Like, the kids will be paid for.
Yeah. No, I'm not worried about the kids getting, you know, their tuition checks.
Even when Kim and Kanye first announced their divorce, not for nary a second did I wonder who was getting what.
Jackie, you're so fucking right. Like,
they'll each have a billion no matter how you slice it.
Guys, don't be tricked. Like, don't be tricked into caring about the settlement. You're right.
I literally don't care about the settlement. And so
they had a meeting.
They had a meeting.
About the settlement.
But I think it was a meeting about what to do about this. And then this TMZ article came out with the inside info. I think they think this is a solution. If anybody's listening, I don't think this is a solution.
No. So lame. Like, Kim is supposed to be cooler than this. Like, she's the most famous. She doesn't need anyone. She doesn't want for anything. Like, she doesn't have to kowtow to people. Like, just go with, do what's right.
No, and like, you could be the coolest person in the world, but if you don't stand up for kids, like, you're not cool anymore. You're nasty.
I agree.
Especially because, like, the kids are like maybe the one group that like don't have, like, can't speak for themselves. Like, they don't have platforms. Like, they're just being kids. So, like, it's for the adults to speak for them.
Yeah.
Everyone else can go and get their microphone and share their piece.
No, you're so right.
So, that's where I draw the line, the campers. Are you ready for our next story? It's some great advertising news. Lindsay Lohan gets back in her Mean Girl Santa suit to make dirty sodas in the new Pepsi ad. So Lindsay is the new face of Pepsi, and they are sharing their festive campaign, which is called Pilk and Cookies. Now, it's positive and negative. So it's Pilk because it's Pepsi and milk. She drinks, and that's called a dirty soda. So that's really gross. But she says in the campaign, it's Pepsi and milk. Pilk.
Cute. But by the way, like, Lindsay being in a Pepsi commercial is giving 2003 icon era, like Britney and the Pepsi commercials, like when Pepsi's commercials, like Beyonce, Pink, and Christina Aguilera, I think. Like, this is iconic.
It's really iconic. It's crazy how Lindsay can go through so much, like do so many things, the craziest stories, and then she just sits down and drinks a Pepsi and says one line. I'm like, nothing's changed.
No, it's so true, especially like, I watched just bits and pieces of her new movie. She really looks great. Like, she really looks the same.
I'm so excited to watch her new movie. Add it to the list.
Family. Add it to the list. What's it called?
I don't know, but just search Lindsay Lohan on Netflix.
Yeah.
I've been meaning to watch it. I'm so excited. And what's so, I think, iconic about her, aside from everything else, is her voice. Her voice is so distinct. And even though so much about her has changed over the years, like, that voice takes you back, and it's like, it's actually changed.
An amazing point. And her hair.
No, but her hair has changed red. Over the years so many times.
No, but she's back to red.
I don't know how, as a redhead, you could dye your hair and then you can go back to red. Like, how does that work? I thought once it's like,
no, your hair grows.
Okay, but that's not what happened here.
What do you mean?
Like, she used to be blonde. She didn't grow like all fresh new hair from her roots to her tips. I think she like dyed it back.
Oh, that's an interesting point.
You know, that's
no,
my
I
question.
Think like at some point she probably had like her roots coming back. So she dyed the rest of her hair red and then waited for the rest to keep growing and trimming and growing and trimming. That's interesting.
Maybe that's what happened here because it's been so long. But I feel like in general, redheads like go back and forth. And it's like, how do you get your original color back?
No, that's actually a really good point. Maybe the original color is like a dye, like a... Like, there's still a natural redhead. No, there's still a natural redhead, but the color they're having is like a red dye.
It's right, but that's what I'm saying. It's like, wow.
No, that's interesting.
You had the real thing.
Yeah.
So that's some cute marketing news. I will not be drinking soda and milk, and it's pretty nasty, but it got us talking.
Vile. It's absolutely vile.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
Yes.
A story that McLardia requested.
Oh, yeah.
It's a McLardia original.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Radio host has dubbed Teresa Giudice the rudest person ever after their interview.
Boston so before Radio- we discuss, read. I read the article. Read the whole article because they have like a transcript in there. And then Andy speaks on it too.
Boston radio personality Billy Costa slammed Teresa Giudice as, quote, an idiot, quote, nothing, and, quote, a monster after she allegedly, quote, attacked him in a live interview on Monday. She was easily hands down the rudest person I've ever interviewed, the radio host said on his show after the interview ended. The show is Billy and Lisa in the Morning. The Real Housewives of New Jersey star appeared on the program to promote an event she's co-hosting in Lynn, Massachusetts. However, the interview took a turn once Billy asked Teresa about writing her book, Turning the Tables, after her 11-month stint in prison in 2015. He asked her, quote, Teresa, we know you spent some time in prison, but you came out of prison and wrote a book, a bestseller, about your time in prison. And did it focus a lot on the food in prison? That was his question. She then told the radio host that she, quote, really didn't want to talk about that. He said, she said, I don't know if you know this, but I'm a New York Times bestselling author. He then tried to move on. He assured her that he did know that and then tried to move on from the confrontation and asked about the event she was promoting. But Teresa wasn't ready to let it go. She said, quote, we're going to have a good time and it's all about being positive, right? And not negative. You should learn some of that, she told bluntly to the radio host. And he replied that he'd work on that. One of the show's other hosts, Justin, then chimed in and argued that they weren't being negative since her book is part of her bio, which was given to them by her publicist. She said, quote, I have a podcast called Namaste Bitches, and you should listen to it and learn how to be a little more namaste. Then her rep cut her off and encouraged the hosts to come to her client's event. After Teresa hung up following the short phone interview, the hosts wasted no time in sharing their thoughts on the star. Quote, I did time in prison too, and you said, quote, yeah, you did time in prison, but you got out, you wrote a successful book, which it was. It was a huge book, Justin revealed, while the other co-hosts agreed that it was supposed to be from a positive perspective. Justin also claimed that they stayed away from all the other topics they were told not to ask about, including Teresa's strained relationship with her brother, Joe Gorga, and the hate she's received on social media for wearing Balenciaga amid their controversy. Wow.
I thought that was really interesting.
Then Billy said, I don't even want a coffee with Teresa Giudice when he was asked if he was still planning on going to her event. Teresa has yet to comment directly on the remarks the hosts made about her.
But her publicist
said, quote, I think Mr. Costa needs to work on being a bit more namaste like Teresa is. He seemed like he was looking for a confrontation or to have his moment. I would recommend he listen to Teresa's podcast, Namaste Bitches, so he can work on himself and learn how to properly treat guests on his show. Then Andy addressed the controversy on his Sirius XM show. His executive, he asked the first caller what was said and asked her since they had to say something to get her to be that rude. The caller doubled down, stating that Teresa was rude right off the bat, and Andy seemed shocked, responding, that's what's happening in Boston this morning. I like it.
Okay, so to me, this is so layered because, like, one, I completely believe that this man, who, by the way, a lot of Boston toasters were, like, talking about it. Like, he's a huge deal. Like, he's, like, a radio legend, like, who's probably interviewed, like, a lot of really famous people. Like, I 100% believe him when he says that she's the rudest person he's ever interviewed. Like, she's literally a monster. Two, I actually don't think he was being nefarious at all. And I kind of love that they threw in her face all the things they were told not to talk about and didn't talk about. And if prison is in your bio, then prison's in your bio.
No, here's what I find so interesting about this story. Obviously, this guy does not watch Real Housewives. He just lives in the world. He doesn't watch Teresa. Teresa lives by her own set of rules. She's made everyone on the show abide by these set of rules. They're fraught with contradictions and things that make no sense. And then Teresa, like, walks into the real world, expects everyone to, like, play by her rules and her sensitivities. And this person is just a regular fucking person who has no idea who she is, read her bio. She wrote a book about prison. Let's talk about that book since we can't talk about this list of other things.
Right.
Has no idea that that's a trigger for her. And instead of, like, just answering the question and being normal about it, she's like, wait, why won't you call it camp like I do and say that you went away.
When you were away.
You said I went to jail? Oh my gosh, you've triggered me.
No, but this is also like the environment that Bravo fosters. I mean, Andy literally said, I like it. Like, there are certain women who become absolute monsters who are honestly just as bad as Mariah Carey. But Mariah Carey is known by the entire world, not a specific corner of the internet.
No.
So it's like, it's exactly what you're saying. It's like,
Teresa lives in a bubble where mm-hmm. everybody coddles Teresa, even on her show, even at the reunion, like they're her fans, like I'm sure on social media, everyone in her comments is like, Teresa, Teresa. And she walked out of her bubble to promote an event inside of her bubble. And she was shocked that someone asked her a question. And it actually was not an offensive question, considering he doesn't know anything about her other than what they told him about her. So he said,
and
okay,
by the way, one of the other hosts had been to jail. So it's like, you could have actually had a really
not with Teresa.
Honest and open conversation. I'm sure that's what they were hoping. They didn't know the monster on the other end.
They didn't know they were talking to an actual nut job.
Right, like not a human being.
So to me, even though she was obviously being rude, I don't even know if that's like the right way to describe her. Like she is the most delusional person that she expects everyone to like live in Teresa land.
No, but Jackie, us coming up
but
with
we
a
live
word
in
for
America.
It. Jackie, us coming up with a word for it that's not rude is us being a part of the bubble and a part of the problem. Because in the real world, that is rude.
No, it's rude and it comes off as rude, but it stems from like her greater delusion.
Right. And like her lack of honestly like awareness of what's going on around her at all times.
Yeah. So that was a wild story. It does not surprise me whatsoever. Love that he told us what they couldn't talk about. And that's a completely Same. Normal question. And she was like, why don't you talk about how I'm a 4-time bestselling author? And it's like, I did because I just asked you about your book that you wrote. I did because I just asked you about your book. That was a bestseller.
That's literally what he's talking about. It's literally what he's asking her about.
And if I hear the phrase Namaste Bitches podcast again, like, I'm not okay. Claudia, you should listen to Namaste Bitches podcast so that you could learn how to be a little more namaste.
I'm
also,
sorry.
The way
like,
that she's talking.
It's giving like, live, laugh, love.
She talks in like housewives quotes where it's like, we need to focus on the positive, not the negative, from the nastiest bitch ever.
No, it's so true. Like she's literally the hunchback who can't see her own hunch. And it used to be funny and now it's actually infuriating.
You ask me a question, I'm not going to answer it, but I'm going to reply with be positive.
No, and the way like her whole aesthetic, but specifically with the podcast being titled Namaste. I can't even say it. It's so chuggy. Like, it's so live, laugh, love. It's so millennial. Like, it's horrifying.
Yeah.
Those are my thoughts on Teresa today.
But I think if you want to learn how to be a little more namaste, you should listen to Teresa, who is the epitome of namaste.
Definitely check it out. Mm-hmm. And that's our show, our final show of the week. So, Jackie, I wish you a wonderful weekend. I'm sure I'll talk to you
after
this. Good
luck in Delaware. What did
Thank
Delaware?
You. Della who?
Isn't that a riddle?
What?
Isn't that a riddle?
Della why?
That's a riddle. What did Della wear?
I just made it up. So thank you guys for an amazing week of shows here at The Toast. Hope you enjoyed all of them. Make sure to check out the Patreon this weekend if you're looking for content. That's patreon.com/thetoast. I'll see you all tonight in Delaware. And we'll be back in studio. Jax will be here on Monday. So don't forget to tune in for that. And hope you guys have an amazing day. Thank you so much for listening to The Toast, the Millennium
Hey, Claudia, Morning. Do you want to know what Della wore?
What?
Her new jersey.
Oh, God. Thank you so much for listening to The Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast 5 stories you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as podcasts anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places where we listen to podcasts. Find us, The Toast, and leave a 5-star review about how wickedly talented we are. Have an amazing weekend. We'll see you guys on Monday.
Bye.